Garage. David Clark, I'm the Chief Executive of the Energy Technologies Institute.
Day two of the IBM Start Conference. We've literally grabbed you, buttonholed you straight out of a session. Do you want to just give us a sort of overview of some of the things you were talking about today?
We've been looking today at the whole issue around future infrastructure for the UK across energy, water and transport, and some of the issues around how that might need to develop from the point of view of demand reduction and demand management, and roughly what it might look like in the future.
And you have a special interest in electric cars. Can you tell us a bit about the different types of cars? I mean, there's hybrid cars. You just mentioned plug-in cars. Can you maybe explain that to people who haven't come across that term before?
Yeah, so if you look out into the future in terms of low-carbon transport, and if you look at cars particularly, then it's likely that we'll end up with a mix of fuel types and a mix of vehicle types. And today it's very easy. Everything basically is an internal combustion engine with either petrol or diesel. But if you look out into the future, you can see we're going to have cars that will run on biofuels, with a conventional engine, as far as everybody's concerned today. But then we'll also have all-electric vehicles with battery, which completely battery-powered, this kind of small vehicles you see in cities today. But then we'll probably also have hybrid vehicles, many of which will probably also be plug-ins. So it'll be a hybrid system with a fairly big battery on board, which can be charged by a small petrol engine or diesel engine whilst the car's being driven, or alternatively, while the car's stationary at a car park, you can plug it in and charge up this fairly big battery to get a good degree of range into the car.
And when we're talking about electric cars, or electric-powered cars, there's going to have to be some huge infrastructure put in place before they get to a sort of practical usage point. What kind of length of time are we looking at for getting something like that in place?
Well, the infrastructure for electric vehicles is driven really by two things from a commercial point of view. One is how many vehicles are there that actually around that people want to charge, because clearly there's no point in putting in the infrastructure if there's no vehicles. But obviously, if there's no infrastructure, you can't charge the vehicles. So the first bit is kind of the development of the vehicles and how many there's going to be. And then the second piece really is an understanding from a consumer point of view of how often do people want to charge these things and where do they want to charge them? As in, is it at work, is it at home, is it at supermarkets, whatever? And of course, the answer might be all of those. We just don't know yet. So the vehicle manufacturers are developing the vehicles, and that's going on because it's clearly going to be a global market, just like automobiles today. And those vehicles are starting to come onto the market. And we can see that by about 2020, they could start to make a noticeable part of the UK fleet. But even by given there's 24 million cars in the UK today, by 2020, it's very unlikely there'll be a million electric vehicles on the streets even by then. So it's going to be quite slow. But the other part then is this consumer piece, which is where ETI, my organisation, is funding quite a big piece of work, some of which is with IBM, to look really at just that question based on trial populations of people with trial vehicles of just how do they want to use them? Do they want to use them just like they use vehicles today, or are they going to use them differently, and when are they going to plug them in and where and so on and so on?
I mean, it's a bit of a vicious circle, isn't it, really? If there's not the infrastructure, then the cars won't really work, so people won't want them. If they don't buy them, then there's not enough to justify the infrastructure. So what kind of steps can you take to actually break that and really make an impact on the market?
Well, one thing which the UK government is doing to really try and make a difference in that is the issue around offering incentives to buy those kind of vehicles from the point of view of a price discount, in effect. Having said that, the vehicles today are more expensive than the petrol-powered equivalent, so it only brings it down to a kind of comparable price. But it's those kinds of measures that you've got to take. And also, I think if you look around the country, quite a few local authorities are recognising that from a local operational point of view, there's quite big air quality benefits in some areas from going to more electric vehicles, certainly in the cities. And in some cases, obviously, there's kind of congestion charging benefits in London and so on as well, in the way the incentives are being put in place. But if you look around the patch generally, I think you start to see the public bodies, whether it's central government or regional groups, are starting to make investment in the infrastructure to try and kick-start the take-up of the vehicles. And I say they've got various reasons for doing that, many of which are to do with their local emissions and with local air quality issues, as well as basically just transport infrastructure.
I mean, London itself has a big problem with air quality, and somebody was saying yesterday they were hoping that London would become the electric capital of the world. Might it be a good idea to perhaps start with public transport, so the infrastructure could be built in for bus garages or something like that? Would that be a way to get people in it? And can you have electric buses, or is it just not quite powerful enough?
In theory, you could have an electric bus, but in practice, the scale of the battery you'd need to give you the necessary power to drive a vehicle of that size from an all-electric point of view, it just becomes impractical, both from an engineering point of view and from a cost point of view. So it's very difficult to see any world in the future where all-electric technology would be the right answer for buses and coaches or for any other heavy-duty vehicle, which is what you're talking about, really. However, hybrid vehicles, internal combustion engine, fossil fuel, biofueled, with a battery and a hybrid electric drive, that starts to sound like quite an appealing proposition. And certainly Stagecoach, who are talking here today with me in the session I've just been in, they've got a reasonably sized fleet now of biofuel-powered buses and of hybrid buses. And they believe they are a cost-effective solution, certainly.
So if we've got 24 million cars in the UK, if we do reach a tipping point and the take-up of electric vehicles, you know, actually... Mm. Gets far, we're going to end up with the problem that we're not going to have enough electricity to power them all. And how are we going to deal with that without returning back to the same old problem of, you know, fossil fuels to produce the electricity?
The whole issue around how you manage the demand and how you charge all of these kind of vehicles is a central theme that we've been looking at here around demand management and the infrastructure to charge these vehicles. And I should say also, if we go to electric heating in houses with air source heat pumps, which is another possible technology, there's a very similar problem because they're very big loads compared to what we tend to run in houses today. And there is the risk, both with cars and with heating systems, that in crude terms, everybody will want to turn them on at the same time. Okay, so the issue around demand management, you're quite right, is absolutely critical. In terms of can we generate enough electricity, the answer is yes. We simply have to build the plant to do it. Can it be cost-effective to do that? I believe from all the analysis work that we've done in the ETI, the answer is it can be, but it is extremely challenging. And I think we have to be realistic and say that looking out into the future, I personally find it difficult to see a world where the all-electric vehicle becomes the mainstay of the UK car fleet. You can see it being an important part, but what I think we may see is that regionally, for instance in London, you could see maybe it would become the major part of the fleet in London, but maybe it wouldn't out in more rural areas or in the countryside where people tend to do longer trips. Maybe the air quality issue is not such a driver because you haven't got the density of transport and so on. So I think regionally you can start to see electric vehicles playing a major part. And at that point, we start to see the real need for what's being termed smart grid technology and smart management technologies, which can interactively balance the load that they're going to see from the charging of the cars with the availability of power from the central power stations or from distributed generation systems. And that kind of technology is the kind of thing we're trying to prove out through various projects that I'm leading and that are going on elsewhere around the world. Some of the major issues that go with it, though, take us straight back to where we started, which is this whole issue around consumers and how are they going to behave. And that's the fundamental piece we need to start to understand. And then to really develop the management systems, these control systems, such that they have that kind of predictive capability. So we've got a reasonably good idea of when people are going to plug the cars in. And then critically, how long is there to charge the car? Because if the answer is you've got all night, then an intelligent system can schedule those vehicles so that they don't all come onto the grid at 6 o'clock on a Friday night when everyone is just turning on TVs and kettles and so on at home. So it's very much tied in with a combination of consumer understanding and then intelligent control systems, which can actually handle the scheduling of those loads and the generation to go with it.
Now, we've talked quite a lot about the UK. I'm just wondering, internationally, would there be a scope for electric vehicles to play a bigger part in, say, developing countries? We have the problem that we've got a system in place, and to upgrade that and add a new infrastructure on top would be quite a major undertaking. But in some places where they're just developing that infrastructure, could this be sort of woven into that?
That's a very difficult question. The whole issue around infrastructure, whether by that you mean the electricity grid, or whether I'm talking about the transport system in a country, it tends to be extremely regionalised. So the UK transport system is quite different to the one in India, for the sake of argument. But even across Europe, you'll find significant differences in terms of public sector transport around major cities and so on. You'll find different styles and different operations in different countries. The consequence of that is, I think, could it be different in developing countries? Could they be more dependent on electric vehicles and see that as a bigger part of the fleet than we could? I think in some cases the answer is probably yes, but it will be extremely variable, and the part of the challenge is also going to be, as we see greater concentration of population into big cities, the so-called mega cities, I think we need to understand how personalised electric transport, as opposed to public sector, public transport, how personalised electric transport is going to develop in those areas, and whether there is actually a real need for the electric vehicle at mass scale in those cities, because it is difficult to see in the medium term, sort of out to 2030, say, it is difficult to see electric vehicles in the form of the all-electric vehicle, which is what we're really talking about, really being able to handle the kind of the long-distance journeys or the heavy-duty vehicle journeys. So my personal view is that the all-electric car for the foreseeable future really is going to be a city-urban vehicle rather than a kind of whole community vehicle. And clearly we just need to see how that works in different countries.
And finally, realistically, when are we going to start seeing electric vehicles as the norm rather than a novelty?
Well, I think being realistic, you'd say that companies like Nissan here in the UK are starting the production lines for those vehicles right now. So we expect to see the ramp up of the vehicles from, in terms of significant numbers, from about 2014 onwards. But as I said earlier, the reality is even by 2020, it's unlikely that electric vehicles will make up more than a few percent of the UK fleet across the entire UK.